This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today on RBN. Their website, as you know, is republicbroadcasting.org. You may view the guest lineup and relevant links for this particular program by visiting spingola.com. Just click on the radio schedule button on the left when you visit that page, and you will then choose the month and the appropriate date to see who has been on the show or who will be on the program. Please also visit screeningsandyhook.net for my articles regarding Sandy Hook and related topics. I hope that you will also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net. It was created by a dear friend and listener, and you may listen to the audio files of the programs there, as well as to the RBN archives. Another option is Wooly's blog, and that is wooly'sblog.blogspot.com. If you appreciate the RBN programming, please consider donating to the network. To do that, you may just call 800-724-2719 or visit republicbroadcasting.org and click Donate. You may also send donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. For questions during today's program, simply email them to comment@spingola.email. Please join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by visiting spingola.chatango.com. The telephone number for call-ins is 800-313-9443. My guest today is Kim. She is an advocate for victims of domestic violence, and we are going to talk about, particularly today, sexual abuse in the LDS Church or Mormon Church. We are going to forgo last names today in order to protect the clients that Kim is currently working with, as well as those she has worked with in the past. She does not have a website, but I would recommend that you visit Mormon-Alliance.org and just click on the appropriate link there that will take you to case reports about sexual violence. And of course, I have posted those several links on the schedule pages. Well, there's several. So let's say hi to Kim, and then we're going to play an audio clip. Kim, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Okay, we are going to listen to an audio clip. This is from, now, the Mormon Church has semi-annual conferences, usually in April and October. And this clip is from a 1992 general conference address by the Mormon apostle Richard G. Scott, who has a drippy, syrupy voice that I absolutely detested. Anyway, he advises victims of rape and abuse to look for their own guilt in the circumstances of their abuse and repent. Okay, let's listen to that clip.
Adversity, even when caused willfully by others' unrestrained appetite, can be a source of growth when viewed from the perspective of eternal principle. The victim must do all in his or her power to stop the abuse. Most often the victim is innocent because of being disabled by fear or the power or authority of the offender. At some point in time, however, the Lord may prompt a victim to recognize a degree of responsibility for abuse. Your priesthood leader will help you assess your responsibility so that if needed, it can be addressed. Otherwise, the seeds of guilt will remain and sprout into bitter fruit. Yet no matter what degree of responsibility, from absolutely none to increasing consent, the healing power of the atonement of Jesus Christ can provide a complete cure. Forgiveness can be obtained for all involved in abuse.
Well, I just finished reading Leaving the Saints by Martha Beck. and she was raped by her father, Hugh Nibley, between the ages of 5 and 8. Now, I ask you, how can a 5-year-old child possibly stop the abuse? And should she go to her bishop? Now, Kim, you have, Scott says, you know, go to your bishop. Now, you have worked with bishops in the LDS Church. And generally, what has been their response?
Generally, they have always wanted me to stop trying to destroy a family by encouraging a woman who's in the middle of a domestic violence situation to leave. And they want me to step away from my role as advocate, even when I was dealing with children, and let them handle it as a private matter. And I have to say, after listening to that speech, I am angry. I want to cry for every victim, that's had to undergo such horrible shame. That's terrible.
And this is not just his opinion. This is the general mentality of the LDS Church. They want, they're more concerned about appearances than they are about the victim.
Exactly. I saw that over and over again every time I would deal with this. They wanted to keep it quiet. They didn't want me to be involved because it would draw attention to the behavior of the abuser. And I have to say that the victims, which were usually, no, men can be victims as well, and children are often victims, but in dealing with domestic violence and in those roles, I was dealing most often with women, and they wanted them to be subservient. They wanted them to be silent. I've had them say, well, maybe if you agree to, this is going to be shocking, but I have to say, I even had a bishop tell one of my clients once, well, if you'll have sex with him 3 times a week, maybe that will calm him down. And that was just appalling to me. This poor woman had suffered for years of physical, emotional abuse. She wasn't allowed to work outside the home because, of course, we know good Mormon wives stay home and raise their children, and they aren't allowed to work outside the home unless the priesthood holder says that it's okay. Of course, everything has to be cleared through the priesthood holder and your home. And so she was being victimized by her bishop by having him tell her to have sex with her husband 3 times a week in any way he wished, because that would calm him down. That was his recommendation, for healing the abuse that was happening to her in her home.
Now, Kim, you're not just a friend of victims. You actually have a position with an organization. Could you tell us just a little bit about that organization?
Okay. I've done this for many, many years. About 20-plus years ago, I started in Illinois, actually, working with victims of children who are in the court system. When I left Illinois, I went to another state and began working for an organization there as an advocate for victims of sexual assault and domestic violence in that state, in a small town in Idaho, is where it was. And when I left Idaho, I now am working same position as an advocate for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, as well as victims of human trafficking in the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow. Now, I mentioned, and you mentioned bishops. Bishops, do they have any particular skill or education in dealing with these kinds of problems? Give us a little bit of detail about maybe the background of a bishop.
Okay, usually a bishop is just a normal human being, could be a dentist, could be a farmer, could be a doctor maybe, could be any any man, any position, any kind of background as far as career goes, and some have only high school diplomas and some have more. That varies. Rarely. Now, on occasion, there may be an exception where a bishop is called who does have some sort of education in psychological background or psychology, but rarely. That is generally not the case. And so as far as counseling individuals who are undergoing any kind of trauma in their lives or emotional abuse or any kind of emotional situation that they're facing, bishops are not trained. They're supposedly called to that position by their leaders who have been inspired, as they say, to hold that position. They haven't had any formal education. They don't receive any kind of training, workshops, or anything as such to be able to deal with these situations in an appropriate manner. They're simply going by what their church guidelines have given them as far as what is appropriate in a relationship. And usually they believe that a priesthood holder holds the power. And so they're going to hold that family together and keep that priesthood holder in that position, in that line, as long as possible. They discourage divorce. They discourage treatment. And if they do say you should go to counseling, it's usually with an LDS social worker that, again, has the same background, so that they're not bringing in any kind of outside education or strange theories, perhaps, that the Mormons might view. They keep it very blanketed under their own thought process and their own beliefs to keep these victims feeling, like you've heard, guilty, ashamed, and keep them victims. These women sometimes spend their lives married to these abusive men because they are told by their religion that if they were to divorce this man and leave this family unit, they would not have their children with them in eternity. And for them, as they've been programmed and taught their whole lives to believe that is, they don't want to lose that. And so they'll stay and be victimized in any sort of way, emotionally or physically, sometimes a lifetime.
Wow. Now, are the authorities, police ever called when a child is sexually abused? Does the bishop ever reach out to the authorities and say, hey, we've got a child sexual abuser here in our ward. Would you come and arrest this man? Do they ever do that?
I have to laugh because I've never seen that happen. I will say in the 20-plus years that I've been doing this, and for a significant amount of those years, I was working with in a Mormon community where there were a lot of Mormon bishops that I was working with. I have to say in those years, one time I saw them seek legal action for a child that was molesting another child. It was not a domestic violence. It was not a father abusing a child. It was another child abusing another child. And we all know, I think in this day and age, it's pretty common knowledge that if that is happening, that child who was abusing that younger child learned that somewhere. Right. And I'm assuming home is the most likely place that was taught. So this bishop was not addressing where this issue began, but with that child who was just doing what he'd been taught.
Sure, another victim.
Yes.
Right. On the schedule page, I posted a page, evidence that Joseph Smith was a sexual predator. And so, in my own mind, I see this as something that was apparently okay, and something that was part of the religious environment, the mentality from the beginning. And this is something that people don't know. The Mormons that I know usually think that Joseph Smith had one wife. And the church never talks about the actual history of Joseph Smith, that he had at least 34 documented wives, that some of them were as young as 14. And a lot of people have compared him to, who's the guy that's in prison right now? They've compared him to...
Oh, Jeffrey, yeah.
Jeff's, what is his name?
I'm sorry, I don't follow closely as I should, but I know it's the Jeffrey somebody, I believe.
Somebody in the chat room will let me know.
Yeah, they will.
they are very good. Very good.
Very well on top of it.
Yes, they are very much on
Warren,
top of
it. Is it Warren Jeffs?
Warren Jeffs, yes. And honestly, if Joseph Smith were alive today, he would be in prison for being a sexual predator.
He should be. He should have been then. And I think I didn't know a lot about that until after I started, because as a Mormon, you're taught not to study anything outside of what the Mormon literature produces within their own
correlation department, right?
Yeah. And so you're encouraged not to read anything outside. You're not. You're told that if you do, it's evil, and you're going to have. I remember thinking that I would have this evil presence enter my home, even if I brought that sort of literature into my home, because it was not church sanctioned.
Sure, it's like bringing an Ouija board into the house and
exactly. That's how I was made to feel. And so I didn't want to, I didn't. But when I finally realized how absolutely insane that was, and I began to study more about what my religion really was and the history of it, and I began to read about this, I think even then, outside of the church, that was frowned upon. But that is why they wanted to have their own state. They wanted to have their own place where they could have their own laws, and this sort of practice could continue. And it is so disturbing to me to think that this man who is so revered was a pedophile, was, in a sense, a rapist. He was taking these women and beguiling them and telling them that they would have eternal salvation if they entered his bed.
And if they didn't, their family would go to outer darkness or some other thing. And, getting back to something that you said, the church, and I know this also for a fact, that the church discourages the members to read anything that might give them a different view than what the Correlation Committee has designed for their indoctrination. And that is part of brainwashing techniques. They want to isolate the members so that they can be indoctrinated.
Absolutely. And I think we spoke about this once before, and I was reviewing this again this morning when I was going through some of my files, and we use in domestic violence and sexual assault education, we talk about the cycle of abuse and how that power and control takes place, and how it starts off, very gently making her feel like she's loved and just overprotection, but that's a good thing because he must really love me. And then it works into isolation, and pretty soon you're working into complete control in that cycle. And I find it absolutely amazing how similar that cycle of violence and that cycle of abuse is with the church and the way they invite members in and invite these women in when you go into the bishop's office because you're in this situation, you've been abused or you've been sexually assaulted, and how they start that way, and pretty soon they're making you feel like you're the bad guy.
Right.
You somehow encouraged that behavior, and instead of getting help for that, you're being blamed.
Sure. Alrighty, we're going to take a real quick 3-minute break, and we'll be right back. And that gentleman that's in prison right now is Warren Jeffs. Okay, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Wow. While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Like to call into the program, that number is 800-313-9443. Feel free to call in and share your experiences and simply make comments. Our guest today is Kim. She's an advocate for victims of domestic violence and particularly sexual abuse as it relates to the LDS Church or Mormon Church. The website that I am recommending is Mormon-Alliance.org, and they have a section devoted to sexual abuse in the LDS Church. I'd like to share a paragraph from a book called Recovering Agency, Lifting the Veil of Mormon Mind Control by Luna Lindsay. Okay. You cannot freely choose without considering all options. You cannot opt to believe when you cannot hear all the pros and cons. You cannot exercise agency while being prohibited from open deliberation. You cannot stave off fraud when you have been discouraged from researching alternative sources. And you cannot openly explore faith when you have been instructed to repress every doubt. Joseph Smith said, and you know, when you first hear it or see it, you think, wow, that's super. He said, I teach them correct principles and they govern themselves. I guess if you were to actually interpret that for what he really meant, is that he teaches people what to think and then they govern themselves according to what they've been taught without looking any further. And you think you have a choice. You think you have a choice. Kim, your thoughts.
No, you don't. I think back to all of the different areas. There's just it's such a broad spectrum. The first thing that comes to mind is the tithing issue. You think you have a choice, so you're doing this because you have free agency and you choose to do this. However, if you don't do this, you have to go in for a tithing settlement where you have to go in and sit in front of your bishop and explain why you haven't paid a full tithe. To me, that doesn't seem at all like a free agency. It isn't free choice. I'm again being shamed and judged and being made to feel bad if I don't make that 10% tithe out of my paycheck every time I get paid. So it no longer becomes a choice. It's not a choice. I'm being told that I have to do this. And I find that with women, it's the same thing in the church. We don't really have a choice. We're bound by whatever the priesthood holder in our home tells us we have to do. So it's almost, and I don't want to say that every situation is dire and horrible and violent, because that isn't the case, but we are, as women, given less power than our priesthood-holding husbands or even our sons. Our sons become better than us and more powerful than us as they get older because they get to hold the priesthood and because they're men. And I found when I was dealing with this within the Mormon Church, these situations of sexual assault and domestic violence, these sexual assault victims would come in and be made to feel again like it was their fault and like they had some say in what happened to them. And they didn't. And yet they were made to feel like they were in trouble and that they did something wrong. And that breaks my heart, because that freedom that we all enjoy, being able to come to an advocate, to be able to say, I don't want to live this way anymore, I don't want to be abused anymore, I want to leave, is taken from us by the strings of our religion. And it becomes so ingrained in us that if we leave that, our celestial eternal salvation
is going outer darkness.
Yeah,
hey,
we're gone.
Outer darkness, whatever that might be. And yeah. Who knows? I mean, who's been to outer darkness and come back and say, hey, this is what's going to happen to you?
Well,
I mean,
that's the
seriously.
Thing. You know, the whole one of the things that I used to just, there's so many things, but when they would tell us about the 3 degrees of glory and how we were going to be judged and how all of that works, I'll come back and tell you.
How would they know?
Yeah, how do they know?
We will be back in 3 minutes, and I do have some other phone numbers to give you. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Deanna, and let me give you some other alternative numbers to call in. 512-716-1603, or all of them start with 512-716. Okay. 1603, 1883, 1897. Okay. They all start with 512. Again, 512-716-1603. Okay. Or 1883 or 1897. All righty, Kim, we're talking about, well, a lot of things. We're talking about the way that the priesthood has been so lauded in the Mormon Church. I mean, the members, particularly the women, are supposed to do what the priesthood tells them to do. They revere the priesthood. It's a bunch of malarkey, quite frankly, because it just is. So.
Well, it's a way to keep us oppressed as women, and they'll give us things. I know one of the things when people would say that to me when I was a member of the church, and people would ask me and say that to me, will they keep you so oppressed? I'd say, no, they don't. They do all these things for us. We have the Relief Society, which cracks me up because members of the Relief Society are actually serving members of the priesthood all the time. We do all the service work. So we're like the wives of the ward doing, it's not even a substantial kind of thing. It's just a club. it's like a little women's club within the church. It doesn't really have any power. And I always thought it was just fascinating to me that whenever something like this would come up, a woman's issue, they never would say, well, let's call the Relief Society president and have her see what we can, you know, brainstorm to help these situations. Or let's call the Relief Society president so you can have somebody to talk to or another woman to counsel. You always had to go and sit in front of these men. You would have to go in and confess these things to these men.
Well, the women leaders actually are under the thumb of the priesthood. They don't have any autonomy whatsoever. No matter what kind of a position you have within the church, it is always under the thumb of the priesthood. The other thing, too, is, where was I going? What was I going to say? Well, yes, it is under the jurisdiction of the priesthood, of course.
Of the priesthood.
And, oh, yes, you were talking about how women in the church have all of these wonderful, wonderful amenities, and gosh, it could be just wonderful. They got the vote before any of the other women in the country. Well, the reason that they got the vote is because then their husbands would tell them
who to vote for.
And so they got more votes and more political power. And when you're talking about political power, the Mormons, one of the reasons that Joseph Smith got knocked off is simply because of the political power as well as his polyandry. And, I mean, there were several reasons why he got assassinated, and he certainly didn't die as a martyr. So, anyway.
No, that's a big sham and a big cover-up, and I learned so much about the real history of the church when I started actually doing my own research and my own reading and my own studying, as well as my husband's. He's really good at doing that kind of stuff, so I learned a lot from him, and I learned how much of what I'd been told all my life was a lie, and how little freedom I actually had, as we were talking about earlier, that everything is under this guise of choice, but it isn't. And if you don't follow their word of wisdom, or you're judged, you have to worry constantly about what people are saying or thinking or doing, and what if the bishop sees, and what if the Relief Society president says something, and so that's all taken away from you. It's very cultish. It's very...
it is a cult.
Well, like I said, it is. And as women, we're very oppressed. And I know that when we were talking earlier about what bishops' trainings are in these situations, and I was remembering I had a client once that did go to a bishop who wanted help, and it had been years. She'd been going through all of this domestic violence for years. It was physical and emotional, and when she did go to the bishop and say that she wanted to seek counseling, he wanted her to sign a paper saying that the counselor could tell him what they talked about.
Oh my gosh!
She didn't even get the freedom of having that kind of privacy. The bishop wanted to know so that he could counsel with she and her husband in bishop's counsel as well, and know what had been discussed in counseling. And so she didn't even get to have a safe place to go in counseling where she could talk about these things in private and have some sort of confidentiality. She wasn't even allowed to have that. I don't know if that's general practice, but as a bishop, he made her feel that, she had to do this because the bishop was asking this. The bishop was saying, I need you to sign a release form so that your counselor can talk to me. And because he was the presiding bishop in her ward, and he held the priesthood, and he was a man, he felt like she had to do that.
The other thing, and you brought something that I remembered, is, well, I mean, it's just when you're a part of a group, particularly when you are a part of a cult, your behavior, you match your behavior so that it is acceptable to what everybody else is doing. For instance, when people go to the temple for the first time, it can be pretty, it's something you're simply not prepared for, because what you're actually doing is you're becoming initiated into Freemasonry. And it is so unlike anything that the members here in sacrament meeting or in Sunday school or in Relief Society, it's nothing like what you've ever heard before. So when you come out and you think, well, gosh, it must be me. It must be just that I don't know how to deal with this, or it's just me. Because,
well, and they don't want you to talk about it. It's supposed to be this secret thing, and so you don't feel like, even when you come out of there, I know I tried to talk to my husband about it because, as a female, it was very violating to me, and I felt it scared me, and I have my own history of, you know, things that happened to me in my past, and so for me it was even extra scary and bizarre, and I didn't feel like I had anybody I could talk to about that, because they tell you that it's so sacred that you're not supposed to talk about it.
And it's so too bizarre. But since everybody is happy that you did this, and everybody celebrates it.
It's this big celebratory thing, and there's all of these symbols that come with it, and there's all of this tradition sort of thing that comes with it. And so I remember thinking, like you just said, that there must be something really wrong with me, because they're all so happy about this and they've all done this and they're all glowing and they all want me to do this. And so
it must be
what's wrong with
me. I just don't understand what happened to me.
What's wrong with me that I'm not feeling that way? What's wrong with me that I... And I didn't feel like I had anybody I could go talk to about it.
Of course not.
Because you're not supposed to talk about it.
Sure.
And so even when I talked with my husband about it, he'd say, oh, well, it gets better. And you know, it's... But it never did.
Sure.
And it never did.
We do have some callers. Let's take a phone call. Let's take John in Arlington.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello. Hi, John. I have a question. You kind of glanced on the issue I want to bring up. Is there a relationship between... I've heard that there is... understand there's a relationship or a genetic relationship between Joseph Smith, Mormonism, and Freemasonry. Is this correct?
Joseph Smith Sr. was a Freemason. His older brother, Hiram, was a Freemason. Joseph Smith joined the Freemasons in Nauvoo, Illinois. He took the initiation ceremony from Freemasonry and adopted it, amended it and adopted it for the temple ceremony.
Is Mormonism, when you actually look into the doctrine and it's the concept of God, it has a Christian veneer, but underneath it turn out to be some kind of a, I guess really a UFO cult?
I don't think it's a UFO cult or New Age or anything like that. The focus is on Joseph Smith. And I always wondered long ago, why don't they ever talk about Jesus Christ? I mean, it's supposed to be the Church of Jesus Christ, but the focus is not on Jesus Christ. What are your thoughts, Kim?
Well, it isn't. And I think that it's very interesting that they indoctrinate us very, very young. They will have our parents as we're small children, and we don't even know what we're saying, take us up to the pulpit to bear our testimony and tell us what to say. So we're being brainwashed very, very young, and then we're baptized at 8 years old, and we don't even know what that means, and we're taking on the name of Jesus Christ. And yet, Jesus Christ is not the focal point, like you said, of our religion. It's Joseph Smith and Brigham
Young. Go ahead, John.
What inspired Joseph Smith to create this religion? I mean, who gave him the idea? I mean, what was he involved in before then? I understand he may have been initiated into witchcraft when he was 13 years old.
He lived in a time and in a place where there was a lot of occult kinds of activities going on. There was a lot of what was called money digging. There was a lot of people who thought that there were treasures buried in the vicinity where they lived, and he was into money digging. And And there was also books that were produced about the same time that talked about, for instance, the earlier inhabitants of the area, the Native Americans. And so there were other, and also there were books about the Revolutionary War. And if you look at the Book of Mormon, I mean, 170 pages of the Book of Mormon is filled with warfare. He was very obsessed with warfare, with violence. He also had a big military presence in Nauvoo. He made himself mayor. He had himself anointed as king of the world. He had himself anointed as the military leader. So he was. There was a lot of violence early on in the environment. So where was I going with this? Why did he do it? As it stands now, big time money, power, money. You know, always usually gets back to power and money, because he started to rein in some money early on, before he was assassinated in 1844. He was already saying, you know, that a worker is worthy of his hire. We should get paid. You know, I can't work. I've got really more spiritual things to do. Hey, start giving me some money here.
There's another thing about masonry. There seems to be a lot of, like, who wrote Treasure Island? Robert Louis Stevenson. There seems to be a obsession in masonry with digging up of buried treasure.
I don't know. But, I mean, that's how it started out. That's how the religion started out, that he said that he found these gold plates. Nobody ever saw the gold plates. There are 11 witnesses that signed, which were all related, mostly related to each other, who said that they saw them. But then when you get right down to it, they saw them with their spiritual eyes, not with their physical eyes. In other words, there's something called second sight, where they imagined they saw the gold plates, but he didn't even use any what he was. Well, when you see representations put out by the church, they show Joseph Smith, a representation of Joseph Smith, looking at these plates and then writing. He never used any gold plates to do anything. What he used was a seer stone, which he had before, which he used before in trying to find treasure. He used a seer stone, which was a rock, a particular rock that he had, and he would put it in a hat, and he would stare into the hat. And that's how he, you know, and he had scribes that were, you know, writing all this stuff down. And a lot of times there was a curtain in between he and the scribe. He could have been looking at anything. And when you look at various parts of the Book of Mormon, they're all plagiarized from the Bible. A lot of it is plagiarized from the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of it is, but was he just doing this on his own recognizance or his own motivation, or would he possibly doing it perhaps on behalf, at least in the beginning, or was set on this course possibly by higher ups that were using him and possibly even gave him some
insight? No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Because
go ahead.
Is it possible that he had some scholarly inside knowledge of, you know about Scott Walter, don't you, in America Unearthed?
No.
You don't know about him?
No.
He's on the history. Perhaps there might be people, particularly in masonry and in the secret caverns of power that maybe at the time had inside knowledge about the truth about what was going on here in the Western Hemisphere, that possibly he was imparted to him one way or the other.
Well, I don't know. That would be speculation. I think there's enough evidence to indicate what he was doing and why he was doing it without speculating that he might have had a handler, because he was quite an egomaniac. I don't know that he would. I know that he, well, Oliver Cowdery, one of the one of his scribes, was a teacher, was probably had more formal education, and probably collaborated with Joseph Smith in some of their activities. But I don't think that, that he had a handler. I really don't. And it would, you know, because there's so much evidence to say, yes, Joseph did this. He had the capability of doing this. He had an incredible memory. He could memorize things.
Maybe. So,
okay, we're going to a quick break. John, you can hang over the break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
All righty, we are back. Kim, did you want to add anything? I've been talking quite a bit here. Did you want to add anything?
No, okay. I think that you're making some really important points, and I was just, I know that we're talking more about Joseph Smith in the beginning of that, but I was thinking about how when we're talking about Joseph Smith, it's in my line of work, we deal a lot with what perpetrators is what we call them. But I think if I was to take this quote that I use in my training, and I was to put Joseph Smith's name in there, it would fit very appropriately. Joseph Smith becomes the most powerful person. Hang on 1 second.
Okay. John, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Hang on.
Okay. I'm sorry. We had a disconnect for just a second.
Okay.
But I think if we took the word perpetrator out of this quote in my training, and we substituted it with Joseph Smith, it fits so perfectly as to the ideas that Mormons have for Joseph Smith. And I'm trying to pull it up. I don't want to misquote it. Okay.
Let's get back to John, and you look for that, because we do have a break coming up.
Okay, John, when you're ready.
All right. I would like to ask the guest, what is has any of her studies and all of her knowledge of Mormonism, has she ever, you mentioned Freemasonry. What do you know of Freemasonry, and is there any similar, I understand there is similar kind of abuse going on in Masonry as in Mormonism?
I don't know much about Freemasonry. I have to say. I don't know much about that, but I know that, generally speaking, in most religions that keep things secret and have lots of secrets, this type of behavior is going on.
Yes. And I'm sure that that David Schurter, if you've listened to my programs with David Schurter, that's kind of an eye-opener, too. Hey, John, thank you so much for calling in. We are coming up on the top of the hour. Did you have another question or comment?
That's all.
Okay. All righty. Let's say hello to Ray in Oregon, and then we'll hold you over the break. Ray, welcome.
Thank you. That last caller had a lot of really good questions. You really did. Those are a lot of questions I came at it with, too, when I started really connecting Masonry with Mormonism, and then through B'nai B'rith directly to Judaism. Which also created the Catholic religion and the Muslim faith as well. So there you go.
Wow. Wow. Now, are you in the chat room?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
I was just writing down the recipe.
the recipe for what was it, Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Indeed.
Yeah. We do a lot of, people do a lot of things in the chat room that don't have anything whatsoever to do with the program, but that are very, very important for people to know. Right?
Yeah, like, KFC recipe, damn straight.
Yes. Okay, we are going to a quick 3-minute break, and Ray will pick you up on the other side of the break if you would like to stay over and tell us your experiences in Mormonism, Mormondom. Be right back.
My name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The 5 tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.